Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Heartland Politics. This is Robin Johnson, hosting here on KBUR AM-FM, Burlington, Iowa. And our guest today is a Burlington native who's going to help us sort out the latest polling on the Democratic presidential contest here in Iowa. He's Jeff Link, founder of Link Strategies, a political consulting firm based in Des Moines. He's worked campaigns around the world, but he's best known probably for his work with former Senator Tom Harkin and of course, former President Barack Obama. He's also co-founder, along with former Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge, of Focus on Rural America, an organization that's dedicated to researching and identifying progressive economic messages that resonate in rural America, which was a major weakness, I think it's fair to say, for Democratic candidates over the last 10 years or so. One aspect of this research is polling, and Jeff's organization, Focus on Rural America, just did a poll. And he's going to talk about the latest findings. This was released just a couple weeks ago. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's always good to be on KBUR.
Yeah, your old stomping grounds here.
It is.
So you've done, I believe, six of these polls. And what's share with our listeners the results, the top line results of who's ahead?
Yeah, so we commissioned a poll. It started the Wednesday night after the last debate. So this is kind of the first read after that debate to see if, how many people were watching the debate, first of all, and then whether it impacted people's views of the candidate. We found some things different than what the Des Moines Register had. Our poll showed Vice President Biden had a slight lead. He was at 24% in that poll, and Senator Warren was at 18. Mayor Buttigieg was at 16. Senator Sanders was at 14, and we had Amy Klobuchar at 11, which is one of her better showings in recent polls.
Yeah, we'll go through and talk about each of the candidates and kind of the direction of things and any momentum. But did you see anything there, breakouts by age or by region or anything that stands out that was particularly interesting?
Well, I think the most interesting phenomenon in terms of age is just that, one of the older candidates in the field, Senator Sanders, continues to do really well among voters under 45. And one of the younger candidates in the field, Mayor Buttigieg from Indiana, does better with older voters. And that's kind of an interesting dynamic that's developed over the course of this race. The other thing that we looked at was sort of education level, and there's a big divide here. I think Senator Sanders and Warren both do better among college-educated Iowans. Vice President Biden does better with non-college voters and caucus attenders. And Mayor Pete is really – his support is evenly divided between non-college and college. So there's a kind of a big difference developing just in terms of the education level of supporters as well as age.
That's interesting. You asked a couple other questions here that I thought were interesting. We always wonder, and I know you're aware of the Victory Lab book and all the measuring of campaigns. The Obama campaign did so much of that is kind of a in the class I'm teaching right now. I mean, that's the gold standard really for measurement and the science of campaigns. We always wonder, do debates have any impact? And I know you asked that in this poll. What'd you find?
We did. Because we were going into the field, just the days right after the debate, we asked a couple different questions. First, we said, did you watch the debate live? Did you watch all of it, some of it, or none of it? And 51% said they watched all or some of the debate live. And then we asked a second question, which said, okay, even if you didn't get a chance to see the debate, did you see any news coverage of the debate? And there we got 70% said they saw either some or a lot of news coverage of the debate. And this is kind of what we've seen in other debates. The stories about the debates are as important as the actual debate, because a lot of people, for whatever reason, work or other things that come up, just don't get a chance to see the whole debate. And, of course, early on in the cycle, when we had 20 candidates, those debates lasted 3 or 4 hours. So it was hard for anybody to stick with it through an entire debate. But, you know, I think 51% viewership and 73% who watch the news coverage are pretty high numbers.
Yeah, I was going to ask for some context on that. That seemed pretty impressive to me. And I we have this ongoing debate on whether Iowa should go first or not. And my response is always, it's been my experience that it just seems like Iowans take this role very, very, very seriously. And those numbers seem to bear that out, that people here are paying attention.
Yeah, I think people are paying attention. They're seeking information. This is a high-stakes choice for a lot of Iowans because, you know, the threat of the Trump presidency is real. And, I think Democrats want to figure out who is the candidate best able to defeat Trump in the fall. And that does raise the stakes, and I think it's compelled a lot of people to really tune in and try and sort through who's the best candidate, not just to beat Trump, but the other important thing here is who's going to help up and down the ticket. We won a couple congressional seats in Iowa. The Democrats did in 2018, and Abby Finkenauer up in Dubuque and Cindy Axne in Des Moines. Dave Lobsack's retiring, so the Democrats want to hold that seat with Rita Hart. The Iowa House is trying to get back into the majority. They're only 4 seats away. So having a nominee not only that is strongest against Trump, but somebody that can help the rest of the ticket, I think, is going to be incredibly important.
You also got into asking, I think, a very pertinent question that's been talked about a lot since 2016. I'm aware of it. I've had guests on my show, and I know you're very aware of it, where Donald Trump did very, very well in rural America. You can make the argument he won this election in rural America. And there are those, and I've heard them, saying the Democrats need to just write off rural areas and focus more on getting more turnout in urban areas and other pockets in bigger communities, metro areas. You asked a question about that, and I thought the response was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is an important issue. It's one that we've been tracking a lot. You know, obviously our work at Focus on Rural America is to get these presidential candidates not just to visit rural places. That's step one. Secretary Vilsack always says job one is you got to show up, and job two is you have to listen. But, you know, have to actually have a plan for revitalizing small towns and lifting up not just small towns, but lifting up the people that live in those small towns. I think in 2016 we got sort of in a trap where the Democrats were seen as being condescending to people that lived in small towns or were choosing a rural lifestyle, and that's a completely losing strategy. And I think all these candidates in 2019 really made an effort to get out and talk to people in small towns, and 15 of them released specific rural plans. So we asked a question to get back to our poll. We asked a question that said, regardless of who you're going to caucus for, which candidate is best for the needs and interests of rural Iowa? And interestingly, Amy Klobuchar led this question with 29%. The next closest was Senator Warren with 15, Senator Sanders at 14, and Mayor Buttigieg and Vice President Biden tied at 13. So essentially it was a 4-way tie behind Amy Klobuchar, who seems to be ahead above everybody else. And, you know, she's been talking about her rural bona fides. She talks about, you know, her view of flyover country is that it's home, not just flyover country. That's a line she uses quite a bit. And she's talking specifically about what President Trump has done on on waivers for ethanol that helped the oil industry and hurt corn producers and ethanol, corn growers and ethanol producers. So, you know, it's an issue that she's really grabbed onto, and people are hearing that.
Yeah, I thought, and I can say this as somebody who lives in a rural area, a rural county across the river in Illinois. I asked all candidates for their thoughts on rural revitalization, and her plan was the most comprehensive. There's no question about it. Other candidates were pretty good, but all of them could speak to it, I think, which is perhaps a little different than maybe what's been in the past, where perhaps they had rural plans, but they weren't really thought out or as comprehensive. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's absolutely right. I, you know, in the past, I think campaigns have released a white paper, but in this cycle, not only have they released a plan, they've been talking about it, they've been vetting these issues as they've been traveling around the state. I think we've had 14 candidates go through ethanol plants, a number of them through the plant right there in Burlington. So, you know, I think they've really taken this to heart, and I think that gives me a lot of hope for the fall that a place like Iowa can be in play, even though Trump won here by 9 points in 2016. And, you know, it bodes well for the future for us.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on KBUR AM-FM. Burlington, Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and my guest today is Jeff Link, who's the president of Link Strategies, a political consulting firm based in Des Moines. Jeff is also the co-founder of Focus on Rural America, along with Patty Judge, a familiar name, the former lieutenant governor. We've been talking about the Focus on America's recent poll of likely Iowa caucus voters, which just came out and had some very interesting results as we head down to the final countdown towards the caucus date of February 3rd. I noticed you also asked in this poll people's second choice. Was there any big difference or anything you can see there that was that stood out?
Well, we did something a little different in the second choice from what I've seen in other surveys, and that is we asked everybody their first choice, which is what pollsters typically do. And then we said, okay, if you are if you show up on caucus night and your first choice is not viable, meaning you didn't your candidate doesn't have 15% of everybody that showed up, we said, okay, what are you planning to do? Will you choose another candidate? Will you stay at the caucus and caucus uncommitted, or will you go home? Because those are your options. You can literally do all three of those things. And we had 75% said that they would choose another candidate. We had 17% said that they would stay, but they would stay uncommitted. And then we had 4% that said, I'm going home if my candidate's not in the top. That didn't get the 15% they needed. And that's a very interesting finding, because that means that in many caucuses, uncommitted could actually elect a delegate to the county convention, and that means uncommitted might beat a number of candidates. You know, famously, back when Jimmy Carter was running, Jimmy Carter was credited with a victory in the Iowa caucuses, but he really got second because uncommitted was first. And so it's played a factor in previous years, and I think it could be an issue when we're tallying votes a week from Monday.
Well, the focus for the most part in this election has been on domestic issues, specifically the President Trump and then other issues associated with his record since he's been elected. But foreign affairs leaped into the spotlight here about a week ago with the decision by the Trump administration to kill a leader of the Iranian troops and Soleimani. And I saw where you asked a question on this, and I thought it was interesting because, again, it's you never know how these campaigns are going to take place. You know that. And foreign affairs issues could be significant, and you one of your questions addressed that.
Yeah, it's, you know, this was the first debate where after the killing of Soleimani, And it certainly came up in the debate, so we wanted to make sure we were kind of checking in with voters and see what they thought of this. And basically we asked a question, regardless of who you're going to caucus for, who do you think is best equipped to handle U.S. relations with Iran and other global hotspots? And we had a clear victor in this question, too. Vice President Biden was chosen by 46% of the respondents, and then the next closest was 14%. So, you know, as close as this race is, and I believe it's totally plausible and possible that any one of the top four could finish in first and any one of the top four could finish in fourth. But in this question about who's best equipped to handle issues like Iran and other global hotspots, Biden had a 30-point lead over the rest of the field.
Interesting. Do you see any trends from the polls you've done? In this race so far, based on the polling, which started last summer, really has kind of been like a horse race where different horses are in the lead and then fall back. And do you see any candidates right now that seem to have momentum as we get closer to the actual date of the caucuses?
Well, you know, I cautioned everybody when we announced our poll on, I guess it was Monday morning, that at this point in 2016, on the Republican side, Donald Trump had a 4-point lead 2 weeks out, which I frankly had forgotten that he had an average of 4-point lead. He had a couple polls where he was up 10. Of course, he ended up losing Iowa by 3.3 points to Ted Cruz. So that race moved 7 points in the final 2 weeks. And at this point in 2016 on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton had a fairly comfortable 5-point lead, and she ended up winning by 0.2%. So that's my word of caution, you know, before talking about trends or the way things are going at this point, because we have Biden at 24 and Warren at 18, and so it's just extremely close. But we have consistently seen Senator Klobuchar moving up, and I think she's not finished moving up. She has the highest approval rating of any of the candidates that we tested, and you know, all of them are high. And, you know, just one quick aside on that, I think like every single candidate in the top six or seven has very high approval ratings, and I think that's a sign that Iowans are quite satisfied with this field. They feel good about a lot of these candidates. Part of the reason why folks are having a hard time making a decision is because they've got some good options. And, you know, that's not always the case. But I think people are satisfied with the field. So I'd keep an eye on Klobuchar. And, you know, that question that we just went over about foreign policy, if anything flares up in the coming weeks, I just think that's a real advantage for the vice president. You know, he's viewed as somebody who's stable and experienced and capable, and I think that would be really helpful if we have another international event. Ironically, you know, it seems like President Trump has done everything possible to keep Joe Biden from being his opponent. In fact, that's why he's facing an impeachment trial right now, because he was trying to bully the Ukrainians into digging up dirt on Vice President Biden. And everything he seems to be doing is backfiring and making the vice president a more attractive candidate to Democrats.
Jeff, for those out there who don't, you know, follow polls closely, like, of course, we have, explain when they hear that overall Klobuchar is at 11%, but how much was it, 29% that felt that she was the best candidate for rural? And then
yeah.
Biden
yep.
was at a higher number for handling international affairs than his actual number. Explain why those numbers differ. Why wouldn't people that think those are important automatically express their preference for that candidate?
Well, It's a good question. It just goes to show that people factor in a lot of different issues and a lot of different traits into their decision. So it's not just that they're foreign policy voters, or it's not just that they're one-issue rural voters. They factor in a lot of different issues, and they take a lot of information into context, and that's why you can score really well on one element, but not have a commensurate vote. You know, there's just a lot of things that go into a decision to caucus for somebody, and it's a big commitment. It's a bigger commitment than just filling in a circle on a ballot. You got to stand up in a room with your neighbors and let them know who you're for. So it's a big choice, and there's a lot that goes into it. And I think that's why there's differences between just individual traits and then the overall vote.
A couple other candidates that I'm going to ask about. One's Tom Steyer. I had him on my show last week, and I get Quad City TV, and he's on nonstop. I was surprised he didn't break double figures in your poll. Where did he wind up, and are you surprised that because he's not only just advertising on television, he's working hard across the state.
No, he is, and he's spent a lot of time here. He's got his family here. I don't know what more he could be doing. I think we had Steyer at 4. We didn't even have him registering until our September poll when he showed up with 3. I don't know what's holding him back, other than, you know, I think people don't really see him as a good matchup with Trump. And I'm not sure why that is, but, you know, he's an impressive candidate. He's really done some amazing things in terms of his work on climate change and obviously a very smart guy, very successful business person, but just not really gaining the traction he needs to get to that 15% at this point.
I've got to ask about Andrew Yang as well. I have to say, and I don't have a horse in this race. I know you don't either, but I was very impressed with him in interviewing him. I really did it more as a formality. First, the idea of the universal income, I kind of thought was off the wall. But when he explained it, I came away very impressed, and his supporters will say, well, his support won't show up because they're going to be new caucus goers. So what are your thoughts, and how did he wind up in your poll?
Let's see. Yang was at 3, which I was a little surprised by. I kind of thought he would be higher than 3 just because I, too, have been impressed with what he's been doing on the trail, and my gut reaction was this universal basic income was kind of a far-flung idea. But when you actually get into the details of it, you know, he has a pretty interesting argument to make on it. And it's not just a giveaway. I mean, first of all, he thinks it's reasonable that these tech companies that are making billions and billions of dollars should probably pay some tax, and that's what's going to fund it. I think that's a pretty good idea. He's obviously a very smart guy. Again, successful in business. I went to every speech at the Des Moines Register soapbox at the Iowa State Fair, and I think hands down he gave the best speech at the fair. I think his whole speech about the I-80 truck stop and how automation is working overtime to try and eliminate the job of every trucker in America is kind of a fascinating story. I think it's true, and I think it's kind of scary about the implications to the economy. So I think he's an impressive guy. I think he's going to be around for a while because he's able to raise money online, and I think he's going to continue to raise money even if he doesn't finish in the top 3 or 4 here in Iowa. But He's a bright guy. I hope he stays very engaged.
We've got one more quick question. Do you care to make a prediction? Number one, if you don't want to, then let's say the top three in any order.
Boy. Well, like I said, I'm not afraid to make a prediction. I just have no idea which way this thing is going
to
go.
We won't hold you to it.
I think it's still pretty fluid. I would not be surprised if Joe Biden ends up winning the Iowa caucus. And, you know, I think a lot of people have tried to write him off throughout this year. But he's got staying power, and he's really seems to be in a good position as we enter the final couple weeks here. And, you know, timing is kind of everything. You know, Mayor Pete, I think, is still drawing huge crowds and could surprise people. I think the Warren campaign probably has the best organization of anybody in the state right now. And, you know, organization always matters. Like the old adage in Iowa is organize, 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 and get hot at the end. Well, she's definitely done the organize, organize, organize part. The question is, will she get hot here in the last week or so? You know, she's got the burden of being a juror in this impeachment trial, so that may slow down her ability to reach people in these closing days. And, you know, Senator Sanders is running a campaign that is better and smarter than what he did in 2016. So, you know, there's plausible scenarios for everybody, but I just have to give the edge to Biden right now.
Okay, well, I appreciate you doing that, and really appreciate your time. Jeff Link has been our guest today. Jeff's a Burlington native, and he's the founder of Link Strategies in Des Moines and also the co-founder of Focus on Rural America, which conducted the poll, which we've been talking about today. Jeff, thank you so much for being our guest, and we'll have you back sometime to sort all this out.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Robin.